Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Monday edition of the Yard, back in the Starkville home office. It's been a busy day. We didn't have football media availability today, but we did have the soccer NCAA tournament selection show. I am told we will have Mississippi State football media opportunity later this week, perhaps on Wednesday. Might even hear from Jeff Levy. We'll see how things go. I think it's good when Levy, on an open date week, still meets with the media. I think it's a good thing. I think he's handled the media pretty well. But, not a lot to cheer about these days other than the future. But we're going to talk a little bit about the game today, talk about the NCAA tournament selection, and a few other things. Got a pretty cool top 10, too. Gwen kind of snuck by me last week. We had a death of an American music legend last week. So we're going to do a top 10 in his honor today. But, big show. Glad you're with us. If you haven't kept up, it's been pretty good. Couple days for your good friend and host. On Sunday, the dude made its debut on the Mississippi bestsellers list at number 5. It's about where we expect it to be. Still hoping we get to number 1 by the end of the year at some point. Be really nice. But it's always good to be mentioned in that group. You know, Wright Thompson's got a new book out this holiday season, as to John Grisham. So some pretty serious competition there. So we'll have to have a good run at some of our independent bookstores in Mississippi to get to number 1. But, we expect to stay there the rest of the year, maybe into next year. But awfully cool. And also 2 books on the top 10 list this week. Flim Flam, 7 years after its release, returns to the Mississippi bestsellers list. That's pretty cool, you know, right? It is, right? I mean, that's what happens when you release a new book. The rest of the catalog kind of gets pulled along with it because people are like, hey, you know, Steve's stacking these books up so quick. I may have missed 1 or 2, but I know many of you are taking advantage of the holiday season, and maybe you've got that Ole Miss co-worker, or maybe you've got that Ole Miss brother-in-law, God bless you if you do, that needs the truth. And maybe they're at a point where they should receive it. But, very, very grateful for all of you that have gone out and bought the book. And you can order online at dutynoblebook.com. But if you live in the great state of Mississippi, I encourage you, and even though it makes me a little bit less money, to support the Mississippi independent bookstores. And we have some great ones here in Mississippi. Not that I'm... unappreciative of what Barnes & Noble and those guys do for us. But matter of fact, I'll be at Barnes & Noble on campus for the Missouri ball game. But when you think about Lemuria Books and Book Martin Cafe downtown, Lorelei Books over there in Vicksburg, you know, they've got books for us too. And so if you're in the greater Starkville area or in the central Mississippi area, I encourage you to support those businesses. Even if you don't want my books, but if you want something in addition to that, please, please, please. I know it's so easy to just go jump on Amazon. I'm guilty of that sometimes too. But I try to only order things on Amazon that I can't get locally. Found myself today, you know, trying to find something to, I only needed one thing, but they get you with that free shipping. Like, hey, for $20 more, you can get free shipping. You think, man, I want to give away $7. But sometimes you just got to say no. But yeah, please support the Mississippi independent bookstores, even those that don't carry my books, which is kind of silly, but to each their own. I'll take the high road here. And there are a few stores out there that, of course, are run by people on the opposite side of the rivalry. And I wear it like a badge of honor that I've had a couple of number ones without their help. But nevertheless, please support the Mississippi Independent Bookstore. And if you are living in a foreign land, you know, maybe outside of the great state of Mississippi, you can order online from those stores. But if you've got a local bookstore and you read or you're looking for great gift ideas, please support your independent bookstore. Please get out and do that. Those people do a lot for local authors. And even though I may not be a local author in your neck of the woods, please go and support them. As a person that owns a couple of small businesses, I can tell you, very appreciative of everybody that does business with us. And so buy local, shop local, and eat local whenever you can. Trust me, you know, the big chains are going to get more than enough business. But for those people that you know, that work independently and have their own business, you know, when you go buy from them, you know, it's a meal, right? It's a dance lesson for their daughter. You know, it's part of Little League gear for their son. You know, so it makes it a little more personal when you look at it like that. I mean, the fine folks at Amazon, and we've sold thousands of books through them. We don't utilize their services anymore because of my stance on the independent bookstore. Yeah, there were times like when Flim Flam was out, we used Amazon and we could barely keep it in stock because people were buying it left and right. And I had one of our local vendors come up and say, you know, Steve, you're killing us with this Amazon thing. You know, we're selling the book, we support you, and you know, we're selling the book for $25, but people can get on Amazon for, you know, $17, $18. And then they buy the book on Amazon, they come to our store and don't buy anything and have you sign the book. And I can't tell those people no, but I also understand where that's coming from. And so always, always, always shop local when you can. Speaking of other good news, I'm happy to announce the network announced today. I let them do it. I've recently agreed to a contract extension with 247 Sports and very happy with our parent company, you know, Paramount. 247 Sports, and competed against that network for many years in my career. But I tell you that the model, the business model that they have is unsurpassed in our industry. And very happy to sign another deal that will keep us with them for many years to come. And very grateful to get that done. I know many of you too are like, you know, hey, Steve, I really don't want to move. You know, I don't want to have to, as much as I love the content at jeanspage.com, I don't want to have to like cancel this and then move to another network and things like that. And that's always a possibility down the road. You keep your options open. But I love the working relationship and I love what we've built at 247. You know, prior to the merger, it was pretty much a failing site. And, you know, we merged, had a couple of good years together, and now, you know, we're flying solo again. But, you know, wish everybody the best in their pursuits, but we're really, really happy where we are, doing what we do and working with the people we work with. And thankfully, you know, we have affiliated ourselves with a thriving company that has afforded us the opportunity to get out and go do a lot of cool things. You know, we go cover Mississippi State, home or away, and a couple major sports. We did a lot last year, men's basketball too, on the road. I don't know if we do as much of that this year. But the reality of it is that we're happy. And I want to say how much I love and appreciate each of you. For those of you that listen to the show, subscribe to the website, buy the books, and maybe you come float over at the wife's business at True Rest of Starkville. She was featured on WCBI today this morning. Had to get up early and go. And super cool. And if you're a veteran, you're active or former military, you can float for free on the 11th of each and every month. Yeah, how cool is that? For free. You just got to call and schedule. and say, hey, and you got to be truthful, right? But yeah, active and former military get to come float for free because we believe in supporting our men in service, our men and women of service. And it is a way that we can say thank you for that service. And a lot of people, as you know, come home from active duty and they have some issues to deal with, maybe physical, mental, or emotional. And the military itself uses float therapy to help combat PTSD. And so we don't want people to feel like that, hey, once you're done with the military, you don't have access to that. Well, you do with us. But so many of you have been so incredibly supportive. And I say thank you on this show a lot, but I don't say it enough. Very, very grateful for each and every one of you that have ever liked a tweet or shared a post on Facebook or X. Those of you that subscribe to our website, none of it ever goes unappreciated. I want to make sure you know that. And again, there's some people, it's like, you know, Steve, I'm on a fixed income, or I'm just not in a situation where I can afford to do a lot of those things. But, you know, you can share a tweet, you can share a Facebook message, and when you do, I see those things. I try to go out and like them just because of the fact it matters to me. It's kind of like that local bookstore, right? You know, while we're affiliated with a national company, you know, it's like, you know, for Dave Murray, you know, you subscribe to our website and Dave Murray's able to buy, you know, his wife, you know, a gift or take a trip or something. And, you know, Jacob Baines, new to our organization, you know, this is a guy that's kind of making his way in the world. And so you're supporting not just the current generation of Mississippi State riders, but the next generation of Mississippi State riders. And that's one of those things, too. I know at some point I'm going to age out, but until I do, we're going to continue to bring the heat in everything that we do. We take a lot of pride in what we do and who we do it for. And if I could come to your homes or come to an assembly and shake every one of your hands and tell you thank you face to face, I absolutely would. Because we have a great life, man. And I share with you guys all the time. You know, it's like so those days when you start feeling bad about yourself, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, even when things are going your way, all of a sudden you have a bad day that shows up out of nowhere. Or maybe it's just me, you know, maybe it's just how I'm wired. But occasionally I have a bad day. I do. You know, and I always joke, I said, you know, Mama told me there'd be days like this, but she didn't say there would be this many of them. But yeah, I mean, it's easy to get down in the dump sometimes. And one of the ways that I pull myself up out of the abyss is I think to myself how grateful I am that there was a time in my life, and it seems like just yesterday, but it wasn't, that I was having to scrape up change, you know, in the couch cushions to put gas in a car, you know, to go work a temp job, you know, for manpower, do some construction job or something like that, because I couldn't get a job, you know, as a convicted felon, you know, I couldn't get a job. And so the reality of it is that, you know, we've built this thing up from, you know, from next to nothing. It's true. I'm very, very grateful for each and every one of you. And I want to thank you for all of your support. My heart runneth over, honest to goodness. And I had a friend of mine that hit me up, you know, when we, you know, I shared the Mississippi Best Sellers list with you guys on Sunday, and then the news broke today of the contract extension. And a friend of mine texted me and said, hey, it's a good run for Steve Robertson. And I didn't need to be reminded, but it's nice. I mean, it truly is. And so, and I want to say this too. I owe a debt to those people that maybe are my critics too. I do. And I want to thank each and every one of you too for your undying interest in my work and things of that nature. Because all those nights, you know, when I'm pouring through records, you know, from 100 years ago, writing the dude, and every day that I thought, well, this is good enough, I thought, no, it's not good enough. Because I don't want somebody to come point out later, hey, he made a mistake here. And I may have made some mistakes. But to those of you that are very critical, I want you to know you have made all of this so incredibly worth it. You absolutely have. And I take the good with the bad. And I am very appreciative and supportive of those people that are supportive of me. But for those of you that, you know, maybe you got something to say, I wouldn't trade places with you. How about that? I wouldn't. But you have been a motivating factor in my life, maybe unbeknownst to you. And so thank you, too, for your doubt in me, because I'm the kind of guy that's never going to let you win. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. And I love Bulldog Burger Company, and I have been out of town so much here as of late. I have been kind of jonesing for some Bulldog Burger Company, so I plan to have some tomorrow. I'll get it to go. We'll go to the spa, and I'll get some Bulldog Burger Company for me and the bride and go back to the spa. But I tell you this, they do such a good job packaging that stuff up. They do. I mean, it's very durable to-go containers. And so if you're a person that has to maybe eat on the go, or you're going to work through lunch today, let me encourage you, let Bulldog Burger Company, maybe let them help you out a little bit. You know, don't just go for some fast food burger. You deserve the best, and you're going to find the best at Bulldog Burger Company. And maybe you don't feel like a burger today. Maybe it's a salad day for you. Why would you look any further than the BLT salad at Bulldog Burger Company? I like it grilled. You may like it fried. It's completely up to you. I'm not judging, but I get mine doused with ranch dressing because I'm from South Mississippi. It's a requirement. It's in the commandments of the 601 area code. But all that understood, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I know you do too. The next time you're taking a night out with family or friends, perhaps a work lunch, something like that, or meeting up with an old friend, think of Bulldog Burger Company because they'll take care of everything. They'll give you great food, great service at a great price, give you great portions, more than your money's worth. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive here in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. And maybe get that Shipley's donut bread pudding to go, or perhaps that chocolate shake, and ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. All right, it was a long drive back from Knoxville. We pretty much got the result we expected. You know, we expected to lose the game and probably cover. We did that, and as I have said, take no solace in the fact that we covered, because I don't gamble. I don't bet on Mississippi State. And I thought we played decent at times. Thought the defense came to play. And I'll tell you this too. Don't be surprised if we don't make a change. I mean, if we elect to keep Coleman Hutz for another year. Don't be surprised if we do not make a change. I know many of you are kind of already forecasting that. I've even some people out there that have pushing things out there on social media, I guess, so they can come back later and say, we told you so. But don't be surprised if Coleman Hutzler is your defensive coordinator next year. I'm just kind of telling you. No decisions have been made, but I can tell you that there is some support. Maybe not within the fan base, but within the decision makers. So we'll see how things play out. But, any of you that are expecting the day after the Egg Bowl, we're going to announce a change. I would put a pin in that for now. All right? I'm just my friendly advice to you. All right, let's go back and take a look at this ball game. And again, Mississippi State opens up on offense for the 10th consecutive game. It's one of those things, too. I guess it's a streak, that I'm still kind of looking at. One of those things, that happens. It is what it is. But, we start out on offense, and it hadn't really gotten us anywhere. I mean, it's a rarity that we've been able to start out with an opening drive touchdown. And there have been other times, just an opening drive score has been a little difficult to come by, too. We'll see how things go. But that's kind of the reality of that. Is that, we're getting out there making some things happen, but not enough things happening. Well, we come out, and it's a little pass out to Devin Booth for a loss of 1 yard. So immediately, the very first play of the game, we're behind the chains. We have a chance for a big play here. And I thought Mike was a little bit amped up early on. He's a competitor. And I think sometimes maybe tries to do a little bit too much. But pretty good play design here. We get Sadu basically wide open, and I'm not saying he would have taken it the distance, but it would have been a chunk play, and Mike just misses him. He does. The ball is high and a little bit behind Sadu. If he hits him in stride there, it's at least across midfield, if not more. Sadu pretty fleet of foot for a tight end. But a missed opportunity there. And then we come back, and it's incomplete to Kevin Coleman. So it's a three and out, and we punt. They come after the punt, and it barely kind of leaks across midfield there. Just 31 yards on the kick. Tennessee gets it at their 45, and they go right to work. And you knew the game plan before you even turned the game on, right? And for those of you that went to Knoxville, thank you for going. I don't know that anybody else has thanked you, but allow me to thank you for going and making the effort to be there. I got some Boneyard listeners that messaged me and said, hey, Steve, I'm going to be in Knoxville. I wish we could have got together, but didn't work out that way. But we knew the game plan, and we knew they were going to go to Dylan Sampson, and why wouldn't you? You've got the leading rusher in the Southeastern Conference, kind of a dark horse for the Heisman. And there's a few people say, hey, he should be in the running. I don't think he will be. But nevertheless, when you're the leading rusher in the toughest football conference in America, that is worthy of respect, and it's worthy of being a huge part of the game plan, and Dylan Sampson was. First play, 8 yards across midfield to our 47 to go right back to him for 9. And you start thinking, man, are they just going to line up and run it down our throats all night? And they certainly could have. It appeared that way early on. We did make some adjustments. Nico, pass incomplete to Brew McCoy. On 2nd and 10, they go back to Sampson. It's a run for 3, which brings up a 3rd and 7, a chance for us to get off the field here. And so they run Sampson for just 4 yards. It makes 4th and 3. They call a timeout. And they end up, the notes are off here. And so Nico runs for 2 yards. And anyway, these notes are incorrect. They actually convert the first down here. And then, here's what happened. I remember that they ran the play and they were going to be short and they call timeout. And then they come back and throw the post pattern to Squirrel White there. For the touchdown. And again, these notes are incorrect. But nevertheless, it's 7-0. And again, they're gifted the short field. And give them credit, they forced the errant kick. And they kind of forced the action here. Okay, so now State's down 7-0 here. And we have an opportunity here to make some things happen. But as we discussed on Friday's show, we're not going to get a chance to return many kickoffs. They do a really good job. Josh Turbeville did a good job. All right, 1st and 10 from our 25, and we're incomplete to Johnny Daniels. And on 2nd and 10, we go back to him again, also incomplete. Now it's 3rd and 10. I thought Mike stepped up here and really made a nice play. Knew where he wanted to go with the football, and I think that's one of the things that I'm seeing maybe a little bit too much. This time it works out. I think sometimes in the pre-snap read, he already knows where he's going with the football, and at times he forces the action a little bit. He didn't hear. He threw an absolute rocket to Kevin Coleman. Kevin, with a great set of hands, makes a big catch there for the first down. 1st and 10 now at our 35. We give it to Daniels, who runs ahead for 1. On 2nd and 9, we go back to Daniels, who gets 7. Makes it 3rd and 2 here, and we end up electing the pass here, and it's incomplete to Kelly Akari. Nick Barmero with a 50-yard punt. And then Boo Carter. Give him a lot of credit, too. It seemed like every time it felt like he was like one cut away from just ripping a huge return. 28 yards is big. But it's out to the Tennessee 35. We had a chance to back them up inside the 20, and ultimately they're out to the 35. Now, give the Bulldogs some credit here. We had a chance to fold right here on this drive. And again, they were having some success running the football even early in this drive. But the Bulldogs refused to yield. 1st and 10 from their 35. They give it to Sampson, and why wouldn't you go back to him, right? 5 yards, and then Sampson gets 10. Now we're up there at midfield, just in 2 plays. Nico runs for 13 yards. He flush and kind of takes off, gets a first down there. Then it's complete to Squirrel White for 8, all the way down to the State 29. 2nd and 2, it's complete to Brew McCoy for 4 yards. That moves the chains again. You're starting to get into the red zone here, just on the shadow of the red zone here. And they give it to Sampson, who gets it inside the 20 to the 18. On 2nd and 3, they give it back to Sampson. He gets 2. Then they call timeout on third and one. They elect to go. And what would you do, right? Third and one, short yardage situation against a defense that has really struggled to stop the run. There's not a lot of mystery here, right? Especially when you've got a horse like Dylan Sampson. They go back to him for 4 yards. That moves the chains. And then there's an incomplete pass to Chris Brazel, the second. And, trying to take a little bit of a shot there. And next thing you know, they go back to Sampson, who runs ahead for 5 yards. And then Hunter Washington forces to fumble and recovers it. Great play by him. He got banged up later in the ballgame. We don't have an update on that. People have asked. We don't know. And so the big stop there, and you have a chance to kind of get even here early. Momentum play for the Bulldog defense. We come out, and it's complete Sasedu for three, and then we throw the pick. And really, give the DB some credit. He jumps the route here. And again, the preconceived read. We think, okay, here we're going to go. We're going to make some things happen. And then the Bulldog defense, a chance again. The much maligned Bulldog defense, early in this ballgame, making some plays. And I get it. Dylan Sampson's kind of running at will here, but we force a turnover in the red zone, and then another chance for us here. And the Bulldog defense is like, you know what, hey, we're here to play today. It's first and goal at the state 9-yard line. Peyton Lewis for three, gets it to the 6, back to Peyton Lewis for three, makes it third and goal at the 3, and they give it to him again, and it's just 2. So it brings up 4th and goal from the 1-yard line. And State stacks it up and turns them away. So 2 stops for the Bulldogs in the red zone there, looking to improve that red zone efficiency. And that means nothing when you don't win ball games. But all that understood, again, defense showing a little progress there. Again, I really thought they came to fight. And again, it's a great offensive line for Tennessee and a great back. So you know he's going to get his. But 2 of the first 3 drives, Mississippi State turns them away in the red zone. Pretty significant, I thought. All right, so it's 1st and 10 at our 1, and then we get a delay of the game penalty. And let me say this again, inexcusable. Inexcusable. Change of possession. There's no sense in us getting a delay of the game here. Now, it doesn't hurt us, right? Because what can you do, right? You can back it up an inch. I mean, we're basically right there on the goal line. You can't give them a safety, but it's inexcusable. It's inexcusable on first down to go out there and get a delay of the game. It is. All right, so on 1st and 10, even after the penalty, Davin Booth ahead for 1 yard to give us a little bit of breathing room. And then next thing you know, Booth breaks it for 19 yards. Breaks contain and outruns some people. I thought Davin Booth ran as well as he ever has in a Mississippi State uniform, if not better, against Tennessee. I think he kind of saw a challenge there. It kind of rose to the challenge. A really good day for him. All right, now 1st and 10. And we take a shot here and throw it to Kevin Coleman. But we got him to jump early. And so it's a free play for us. We throw it up there. We can't complete it. We'll take the penalty, make it 1st and 5 now at the 26. And then we're complete to Kevin Coleman. 19 yards. Near midfield in a 1st down. We go back to Booth for 1, makes us, and it, we lose 1, excuse me. And then 2nd and 11, Van Buren runs ahead, makes it 3rd and 10. So here we are again, 3rd and long. It's incomplete. We end up having a punt. But at the very least, in a 1-score game, you have a chance to flip the field. You absolutely do. And we do. It's a return of 3 yards to the Tennessee 20. So, again, this drive starts at our 1. We give it back to them at the 20. They were thinking, hey, we're going to go for it here because they can't stop the run. And if they do happen to stop it, they're not going to be able to do anything. And we'll probably get the ball around midfield and probably already be in scoring position on 1st down. So, give the Bulldogs some credit here for getting a couple 1st downs and flipping the field. And just 38 yards on the punt, a little bit better punt. Could have been a different scenario, but here we go. And again, these notes are a mess. All right, 1st and 10. Let's see here. Yeah, 1st and 10. Nico incomplete to Mike Matthews. On 2nd and 10, they give it to Sampson, who gets 1 ahead of the 21, and then an incomplete pass to Squirrel White. So a 3 and out here for the Bulldog defense. So back-to-back stops in the red zone, and then a three and out. I don't know that we can say we didn't have a good game plan here. I know how the game ended up. I'm not going to sit here and just defend the group, but what I'm telling you is I thought they came to play. They didn't just show up, you know, to take the field. So, three and out. And then the net is 1 yard. And again, early on, I thought the offense was letting us down early, not defense. And eventually, when the offense didn't carry their weight, the defense is going to wear down. All right, first and 10, the final play of the first quarter, Johnny Daniels runs ahead for 11 yards to State 41 and the first down. So that's how the quarter ends. All right, we pick it up here in the second quarter. First and 10 at the State 41. We go back to Daniels, who gets a yard. Michael Van Buren is an incomplete to J-Mo. Makes it 3rd and 9. Need to make a play here. Michael Van Buren gets loose, gets flushed, gets ahead for 8 yards right at midfield. And you think, okay, maybe we're in a position here to go for it. However, we get flagged for holding. Now it's 3rd and 19. Now you're just trying to maybe find a way to give yourself a little more punting room. Michael Van Buren incomplete to Mario Craver, who did return to action after a couple weeks off. Nick Barmira with a 46-yard punt to the Tennessee 27, or 22, and Boot Carter returns it for 5. But it's a 7-0 ball game, and State is right here in it. And then what do you know? They take a shot. It's like, hey, let's go make them play a little bit. And Brumfield was in a position to make a play here and really didn't play the ball and actually mistimes his attempt to break the thing out. The ball wasn't there yet. He gets himself off balance, and Dante Thornton grabs it and then, you know, runs unmolested into the end zone. So we didn't handle that play well, and Brumfield has been good since he's been on the field for Mississippi State. But here's the situation here. One-on-one coverage. Nico lays it up and lets his guy go make a play for him. So that's 14-0. Again, we had an opportunity to fold. It's still early in the ball game. We could say, you know what, how crazy is this? 3 consecutive drives, we stand tall, and then on one play, it's a 2-score game. And that's a game of football. So after the touchback, it's 1st and 10 at our 25. We get it out to Kevin Coleman just for 3. Then Booth runs ahead for 5. Brings up Again, these notes are just an absolute mess. Yeah, 3rd and 8, Michael Van Buren complete to Kevin Coleman for 19 yards and a first down. From the State 46, we give it to Booth, who gets ahead for 1. 2nd and 11, Booth gets loose again. 17 yards and really ran with purpose. And I asked him about this in postgame. When he saw that the play was over, he turns into the safety and delivers the blow. I love guys that run with an edge in the open field because eventually some of those guys will start thinking twice. Yeah, for sure. So great run there. Makes it 1st and 10 at 38. Back to Booth for 2. They end up having to call a timeout. And I think they were somewhat surprised that we were able to run it as well as we were. We talked about that on Friday's show. The Tennessee run defense is absolutely legit. And I didn't know if we're going to be able to run the football. I thought, hey, we're going to just kind of be in obvious passing downs. They're going to just pin their ears back and come get us. But give our offensive staff a lot of credit for finding a way. And I really thought a lot of the stuff happened off right guard. I asked Lubby about him postgame, and he goes, hey, we felt like B-gap to B-gap, we could make some plays. But I thought more times than not, it went on the right side. When we got these big hits, it was usually on right guard. So good effort there. All right, back to Booth here on 2nd and 8, run for no gain. Makes it 3rd and 8, and Van Buren gets loose, runs for the first down. And they review it, and it was the right call. The sliding thing bothers me, but I also understand, too, we got to be careful, you know, because of the fact we've already lost Shapen for the year. But I wish we could dive forward a little bit. I do, because they mark it where you start the slide. And so in this situation here, we weren't clear of the line to gain. And so it ends up being a 4th and 1. We go for it, and Davin Booth and that big offensive line, they get it. I mean, it's not a big surprise here. 4th and 1 from their 29 that we're going to run the football, and we do. And Booth, again, fights ahead, really no question about it, and a really good job here by the offensive line. 1st and 10 is complete to Justin Ball for 4 yards. Makes it 2nd and 6. We give it to Booth, who gets ahead for 3. 3rd and 3 now. And Van Buren is flushed and takes off and goes. I thought he was pretty decisive on this play. Gets it inside the 8-yard line for a first down. And again, Tennessee got to burn a second time out here. I don't think they were expecting this, the state to line up and be able to run the football with the physicality that we did. And I wasn't either, to be fair. After the timeout, we give it to Booth, who runs ahead for 3. Second goal at the 5. And we take a shot here to say, it's incomplete. Van Buren then runs for the right pylon. I thought they should have reviewed this. And, of course, the self-loathing state fans out there said, well, if they review it, it's probably going to be a touchback. No. No. But I thought they should take a look at that. They don't. But Van Buren out inside the 1. We end up taking a timeout here and decide to go. And Booth powers ahead for the touchdown. Extra points good. It's 14-7. Now you start thinking, now we need another one of those stops. Give ourselves a legitimate chance to really kind of get back in this ballgame. And you know, just down 7 here. You're a play away from being tied on the road. And listen, it was a great crowd in Knoxville. I didn't think it was a very intimidating environment. You know, the only other time I've covered a game up there was in 19. It was a day game. And Tennessee folks expected us to go up there and walk all over them, and we should have, but we didn't. And they ended up winning the game. Tommy Stevens had a meltdown on the field. We lose 20-10. If we start Garrett Schrader, we probably win that game. But here we are, and it was kind of an antsy environment. You're like, you know, hey, we're not used to everybody running against us like this. Mississippi State's 2-7. They're not supposed to come in here and be within a touchdown of us midway through the second quarter. This isn't supposed to happen. But here we are. We don't get the touchback here on the kickoff, and they end up bringing it out to the Tennessee 30. And so what do? You know, in times of crisis, you go back to what you do best. So they go to Dylan Sampson for a yard, and then Nico is complete to Chris Basel for 11. They ran that comeback route concept, you know, pretty regularly. It's like maybe we're so concerned about getting beat deep, you know, that we're kind of cheating on the fade or the go, and they ran the comeback route with some success. Basically did the same thing again on 1st and 10, just a shorter route here. Instead of it being a 10-yard comeback, it's more like an 8-yard comback. And so now it's 2nd and 4. They go back to Sampson for a yard here. And again, State made some adjustments here. Nico then takes a shot down the field to Dante Thornton for 17. 1st and 10, Sampson ahead for 6. Back to him for 1 on 2nd and 4. Makes it 3rd and 3. They decide to go with Nico. And he runs for no gain. Big, big play in the ballgame here. It's 4th and 3. I didn't like the call here. Okay, and I've complained about officiating when I think it's bad. I actually thought this crew kind of had a rough night because it was one time early in the game, if you remember, they had the assisted play, like assisting the runner. Like you can push the runner ahead, you can't pull him ahead. They did. They didn't know if it was a spot foul or if you mark it off from the previous spot. They just didn't know, and it took forever to get that sorted out. Now, I understand it's a new penalty, but you're the official in the greatest football conference in America. We can't have it. We can't go out there and say it just means more when our officials don't know where to mark the football. Nevertheless, on 4th and 3 here, Nick Mitchell has the ability to get back here, right? If he jumps, you have the ability to get back. And I understand it's a judgment call, but it cost us severely here. You never know what's going to happen on 4th and 3. I mean, you don't, right? They could just back up to a touchdown. But we gift them a first down here. And Nick's got to stay on sides, right? But I thought the call should have gone against Tennessee. I'm not an unbiased observer. I admit that. But I thought, number one, Nick's got to do his job, okay? But second of all, I thought Tennessee got the benefit of a bad call here. Gives them a first down. And again, they may have, you know, gained 25 yards on this play had it gone through. Who knows? 1st and 10 now at our 22. Tennessee takes the timeout. And Dylan Sampson runs for 6 down to the State 16. We burn a timeout trying to get the ball back. Sampson runs ahead for 3. We take timeout again. Dylan Sampson runs ahead for 1, and it's a first down. 1st and 10, Sampson ahead for 1. 2nd and 11. Nico runs for 7 down to the State 6, and then they take a shot here, and we make a play. We force the early throw, ends up being an incompletion, so it's a field goal. So now it's against a 2-score game. We made some mistakes here on this next possession. Okay, and I said it in the box, and I'll say it again now. We did not manage these final 32 seconds well. I know they get the ball first coming out of half. I get it. But I don't understand our play calling here. And sometimes the discretion is a better part of valor. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, let's just get to the halftime. There's only 32 seconds. Let's just kind of run it out. We could have. We take a chance here and try to get it out to Daniels. The ball's incomplete. Instead of running on second down, we get it out to Coleman, incomplete again. Well, now all of a sudden, it's third and 10. We give it to Daniels, and he runs out of bounds. I don't know if they forced him out, but you got to stay in bounds there, and we don't. So the whole thing here is a complete debacle. We get it with 46 seconds to go, and we end up having a punt. We end up having a punt. That's inexcusable. We get the ball with under a minute to go and a half. We don't give it back unless we score. First and 10 from our 46, because Boo Carter with the great return here, 23 yards on the return, right? You get a fair catch there, the half's over. But instead, 23 yards on the return. They set up at our 46 with 11 seconds to go. Seldon runs ahead for 5, and then it's complete to Squirrel White for 21 yards, and they kicked the field goal. We gifted them 3 points right there. I mean, give them credit. They had to go make the plays, but they should never have had the football back. Never should have happened. So that gets us to the half, 20-7. You say, well, Steve, you know, it's still a two-score game. It would have been a two-score game either way. Well, that could have loomed large in the outcome had we been able to make some plays late. All right. We get into the halftime intermission here. We have to kick it back to them. And it's a kickoff. They decide to bring it out 31 yards to the 31. Seldon then runs for 2. They go back to him on 2nd and 8 for 2 more. And on 3rd and 6, Gaston Moore gets 2. It's a 3-and-out for the Bulldog defense. And that's, you know, we talk about playing complimentary football. You got to be able to get stops and get the offensive ball back. And I didn't know if we could get back-to-back stops in this game, and it turns out we did at times. And so, again, a chance to kind of climb back in this thing and make it very interesting. Jackson Ross punts, 43 yards. Kevin Coleman returns it for 7 yards. And then, lo and behold, we get an opportunity here, and things don't go well. And they end up marking that thing back half a distance to the goal. I can't remember what penalty was charged. But, again, a chance for the offense. Defense is playing pretty well. And, again, our play calling and lack of execution in the first half offensively put the defense in a bad spot. It's like we're not – sometimes we're scared to say it. I'm not. The offense let us down in the first half. The defense did not. Fair? Okay. All right, 1st and 10 from our 12. We give it to Booth for no gain. 2nd and 10, we're complete to Kevin Goldman for 23 yards out to the state 35. Now you're thinking, okay, all right, let's go. We can go make this thing awfully interesting. Unfortunately, that's not what happens. All right, after the first down, we go to Booth to get 16 yards. Now we're already across midfield, and you start thinking, okay, maybe at the very least, go ahead and get a field goal, get some points on the board, kind of reward the defense a little bit. All right, on 1st and 10, we give it to Booth, who's up the middle again for 10 yards, and then we get flagged for holding. Marlon Martinez, one of your guards, you know, maybe that's the reason we gained 10. But again, I thought it was a late call because the white hat didn't throw the flag until after Booth cleared the hole. And I understand these guys are human. I do. I thought it was a really, really late. It's almost like he waited to see the outcome of the play before throwing the flag. Now, you may go back and watch the game tape and say, Steve, it was an obvious hold. Maybe he couldn't get it out of his pocket. I just thought the timing of it was bad. Not alleging malfeasance. I just thought it was bad. All right, 1st and 20 now, back across to our side of the 50. We're incomplete to Seydou. On 2nd and 20, guys, you talk about craziness, right? This is going to be a complete, unmitigated disaster of a play here. And then we get a face mask call that gives us a first down, right? Jason Jenkins has the sack here. It's going to make it 3rd and 23, and it's a face mask. So it gives us a 1st and 10. Again, my notes are messed up here. But We get the personal foul, and then, yeah, Jason Jenkins gets a sack on the next play. My mistake. But personal foul here makes it first and 10 at their 32. And now you're feeling it, right? Jason Jenkins with a strip sack fumble. Jeremiah Talander jumps on it. And at this point, I really started thinking, you know what? It's just not our day. It's just not our day. Defense has an opportunity here, you know, to make some things happen. And again, I feel like, again, the offense is letting the defense down. I mean, we're in the third quarter now. And again, had a great chance to go do some things. We didn't. All right, first and 10 from the 35 for them. It's incomplete to scroll wide. They go back to Samson for four. And, you know what? I forget this. Nico got banged up, they said, with an upper body injury. So Dylan Samson runs for four, makes it third and six. And then Gaston Moore incomplete to Squirrel White. They flag us for PI here. This was a very obvious call. Ellington is beat on the play. And about all he can do is, commit the PI and then just kind of hope for the best. Because if he doesn't commit PI there, it's a touchdown. All right, first and 10 now at our 46. They take a shot here. And this was absolute horse hockey. They take a shot to Brew McCoy. Brow on the near breaks it up. And they flag him for PI. It's a bad call. The Ellington one was so completely obvious. I got no beef with that. The Brow on the near one is wrong. It is. It's wrong. Now it's first and 10 at our 31. Samson runs for no gain. Second and 10. Samson runs off the right side for seven. However, they flag him for holding. Backs it up 10. Makes it second and 20. Gaston Moore complete to Ethan Davis for 11, makes it the third and nine play. Really felt like if we could make a play there, force an incompletion, maybe you can get out of this thing without, giving up a score. And then it's complete to Samson for just three. States in cloud there would make a play. Fourth and 12, Max Gilbert, who missed all three field goal attempts last week against Kentucky, made all of them against us. Now it's a 23-7 ball game. It's still a two-score game if we can convert some two-point conversions, but it's getting away from us here. Okay, so kickoff is touchback again. We give it to Booth. Excuse me, this ball went out of bounds. That's right. Yeah, this ball went out of bounds. And so it's first and 10 at our 35. We give it to Booth for four, and then Booth gets loose, 43 yards down to the Tennessee 18. And so whatever adjustments Tennessee made at halftime and try to stop the running game were unsuccessful. All right, first and 10 from their 18, Booth ahead for no gain. Johnny Daniels then gets loose. Explosive run for the touchdown. We catch them in a run blitz there too. If you go back and watch the tape, they're bringing pressure off the edge. The middle's wide open. And good job getting the second level. Extra points good. Now it's 23-14, a 9-point lead. And there's plenty of ball game left. Now you start thinking, it's 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. You get a stop here. Anything here, anything after that on the Mississippi State side will get you, within a score, going to the fourth quarter on the road. And those unsportsmanlike conducts, and again, we got to do a better job here. I don't know. Hayes Hammond is like not the dude that's going to do something silly. So I wonder like what was done or said. It looked like on replay that they piled on top of the deep snapper, and Hayes took exception, and Mac Pounders goes out there and baits some Tennessee player into punching him. So it's an offsetting penalty. It's funny how that works. So give Mac Pounders some credit, for playing some head games there, I guess. All right, first and 10 at the Tennessee 25, and it's offensive holding. And again, these notes are a mess. First and 10, more incomplete to Dante Thornton. Second and 10, Samson gets loose for 10 to move a chains, make it a first down. Samson back for 8, and Samson was a bit banged up too. Second and 2, Samson runs ahead for 6 to out near midfield. They go back to him again. So again, just feed the big dog, right? Our quarterback's out. Mississippi State is here to play. We got to find a way to put this game away. We're going to ride with our big dog, and they did. It's complete to Dante Thornton for 14 yards. And then Dylan Sampson gets loose, big chunk play, 33 yards for touchdown. Makes it a 30-14 game. And still you tell yourself, it's still a two-score game. Maybe you can climb back into it. Michael Van Buren incomplete to Mario Craver. On 2nd and 10, we get it to Craver for 13 yards. In addition to that, it was PI. It was an obvious call. And it's easy to throw that flag when the ball's been called too. You can say, hey, we called it. 1st and 10 now from our 38. We give it to Booth for 2. Back to him on 2nd and 8 for 2. Makes it 3rd and 6. And Van Buren is sacked for a 9-yard loss. So again, a promising drive that ends with a sack. 4th and 15. It's a punt out of bounds. And, good job here. And then they're holding on top of it. So back them up here. But, they find a way here to put the game away on this drive. And it's a very lengthy drive that covers 15 plays, 67 yards, and eats up almost 8 minutes on the clock. 1st and 10 from the Tennessee 12. Run for Lewis for 3, and then incomplete to Squirrel White. So 3rd and 7, a chance for us to get off the field here. They call timeout here. And then it's incomplete to Holden Stays, and they flag us for PI. Didn't agree with the call here either. And it's like, hey, well, if they don't turn around and look for it, just because they don't look for it doesn't mean they're interfering. It's true. If there's contact, I get it. I thought it was a bad call. Tyler Woodard flagged. All of a sudden gives them first down. Really bails them out here. Because if they got a punt now from the 15 to Kevin Coleman, you start thinking, hey, maybe we can at least get across midfield here, give ourselves a short field. They end up calling timeout here, and then Lewis runs for 11. It runs out the third quarter. All right, Tennessee drive resumes here. 1st and 10 from their 41. Lewis ahead for 1. 2nd and 9, Lewis ahead for 3. And remember, Sampson's a little bit banged up here. I'm sure they felt like the game was in hand here. But 3rd and 6, a chance for us to get off the field. And then Miles Kitzelman makes a catch for 8 yards to move the chains. 1st and 10, they're back to Lewis for 7. On 2nd and 3, Lewis gets 3. 1st and 10 from our 37, Lewis ahead for nothing. And then Morris complete to Brew McCoy for 8, makes it 3rd and 2. Again, a chance for us to get off the field. They bring Sampson back in. He gets the 3 yards to move the chains. They stick with him for basically the rest of this drive. Sampson ahead for 5, makes it 2nd and 5, then for 2, and another for 2, makes it 4th and 5. I guess they had the 2-yard loss on one of those. But the field goal is good. Now it's a 3-score game in the fourth quarter. Chances of a comeback have been completely exhausted. And again, even then, the defense is forcing field goals late. You're right? I mean, you go back and look at this. Guys, we gave up 2 touchdowns in this game. That's it. 2 touchdowns. One of the best offenses in the country. The offense didn't carry their side of the deal. Simple as that. Simple as that. All right, so here we go. 1st and 10. And let's see here. Your 1st and 10, Daniels ahead for 8. Then on 2nd and 2, we end up having to take Tennessee takes a timeout. And then Daniels ahead for 6 and the first down. We stick with Daniels here, go back ahead for 1, and Buren's incomplete to Kelly Akari. On 3rd and 9, Van Buren is sacked for a loss of 12. We got to punt it back. I mean, again, the game's over here. On 1st and 10, Moore ahead for 1 yard, and he fumbles. And they get it back, 2nd and 9, Peyton Lewis ahead for 3. And then on 3rd and 6, we get flagged for offsides. Makes it a 3rd and 1 play. They take a shot down here. However, ineligible downfield. 3rd and 6, Lewis ahead for no gain. And then we call timeout trying to save some clock. We force the punt here. And again, defense playing hard. And the game's over. 1st and 10, Booth ahead for 3. And then they get flagged for unnecessary roughness. And then Michael Van Buren is sacked. And then we're complete to Johnny Daniels. Basically on a check down, we have to punt it back. We never get the ball back. They run the clock out. So, again, you take some time to look at this, and it's so easy. You say, hey, we can't stop anybody. Guys, we got stops in this ballgame. We did. We got stops. You didn't get enough. I mean, the defensive players will tell you, hey, if we can always score 14, we got to hold them at 13. But, we didn't play bad defense. time for today's top 10 list is always brought to you by closewithblair.com, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair's been doing this 23 years, coming up on 24. Let me give you his phone number, 601-500-2344, 601-500-2344. That goes to the man himself. Not a call center, not a receptionist, directly to Blair. Blair wants to be accessible to his clients. You should be. When you have needs in the mortgage industry, whether you're looking for your new home, your next home, or perhaps your retirement home, maybe you want that game day condo to be where you spend your retirement years, Blair can help you. That's right. He can help you when a lot of other people can't because he understands the ins and outs of underwriting. He can help structure a loan that gives you the best chance for approval. Blair's one of us. He rides the wave of bulldog emotion just like you do. I believe in keeping business in the family whenever we can, and Blair is certainly a member of your family. He'll give you the Ken Folks treatment. That's Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. All right, Quincy Jones passed away last week. Of course, one of his greatest contributions to the world was Rashida Jones, for those of you that are fans of The Office. Quincy Jones, not just Michael Jackson's producer. So I thought, well, let's put a top 10 together of non-Michael Jackson content that Quincy Jones has been a part of. Because this is a guy that was an established jazz musician. He worked some with Elvis Presley. How about that? He worked with Elvis, he worked with Michael Jackson, he worked with Frank Sinatra, an incredible performer, an incredible producer. So here we go, top 10 songs produced by Quincy Jones, not from Michael Jackson. Number 10, Michael appears in a couple of these, including this one. Number 10, recently a Netflix documentary, The Greatest Night in Pop. Yes, we're talking about We Are the World, your number 10 track. Number 9, a duet between Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson, not a Michael Jackson album, a Stevie Wonder album, a song called Get It. It's very 80s. Number 8, an icon in early 80s music and kind of a disco queen in many respects, Donna Summer. Great track called The Woman in Me. I think you'll dig that one. Number 7, a song Quincy Jones released himself, had SWV and Babyface on it. Babyface doesn't get enough credit with this generation. If you're looking for some slow jams out there, turn to Babyface. But Quincy Jones, this track called Slow Jams. Yeah, number 6, really kind of where it all started for Quincy as a producer. Leslie Gore had a bunch of hits, and probably her most recognizable song, maybe the signature song of the Leslie Gore experience, is It's My Party, and I'll Cry If I Want To. Number 6 on your list today. Number 5, James Ingram. Another guy that I don't know that gets his due, one of the best male vocalists of the early to mid-80s. I think this band was originally called The Dude, but James Ingram was the guy that made the song famous, and it's Just Once. And it's basically about a troubled relationship. It's like, can we find a way to make it right? Number 4, track called Girlfriend from Paul McCartney and Wings. And I think it's the first time that we've had a Wings song on the top 10. You know, there was a band on the run, of course, in Live and Let Die. It was covered by Guns N' Roses. The Guns version's better. But, yeah, shout out to Paul McCartney, who did some extensive work. I mean, think about that, too. Add the, you know, a Beatle in there. Yeah, great work. A Quincy Jones track that also had El DeBarge and Barry White on it. It's The Secret Garden. A huge hit. Huge. Number 2. A band also, too, that maybe doesn't get the acclaim they deserve. It's the Brothers Johnson. And I went with my favorite Brothers Johnson song, Stomp. Listened to that song recently. Number 1, though. The bass line on this is infectious. It's George Benson's Give Me the Night. Great vocalist, too. A guy that really got after it. Your number 1 Quincy Jones non-Michael Jackson track is determined by your good friend and host, George Benson. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. We may just do it. We'll even give you credit. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy on X, Roy Simonti. He's behind a little bit, but we'll get caught up. You know, Roy is beginning to, kind of slow down in his older age, but all that understood. hit up Roy at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. And you can find our great list on Spotify with that same handle. We appreciate your support of the top 10 list and all of your many suggestions. A lot of times people hit me up, we've already done that band and so or that artist, and so we'll try to find a way to get that to you. Probably going to bring back some 80s pop on Wednesday, and we'll see how things go. Got some ideas for that. But again, thanks as always to Blair Chandler at CloseWithBlair.com. Okay, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, I love Campus Bookmart. You should too. Chances are you already do. If you've ever been there and perused their fine selections of Mississippi State merchandise, you have found the things you were looking for every Bulldog on your list. As we get closer to Christmas, today is November the 11th, maybe the 12th by the time you listen to the show, which means it's almost time to panic. Yeah. Make your Christmas shopping easy. Just log on to campusbookmart.net and just shop until your heart is content and you've got all of your needs met. Every Bulldog in your life wants new Mississippi State merchandise, whether that be a knickknack or a decorative item for the home, the office, the RV, perhaps your pet, or some Bulldog apparel. You can find everything you need, including that fabulous state script and the interlocking MSU on all the apparel there, and wide selection of that at, again, campusbookmart.net. We'd love it when you come to town, you go by and shop in person, you can pick up some books. They have all of my books there, and that qualifies, too, for free shipping. Yeah, if you buy books in addition to your regular merchandise and you have more than $75 in your cart, we got a promo code for you. The phrase that pays is BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Again, don't overthink it. Don't do it. You start thinking about it. I got so much to do and so many people to buy for. Just log on to campusbookmart.net and use promo code BSR. We'll save you some shipping. In addition to that, too, the best selection of Mississippi State merchandise. They know what real maroon looks like. Campus Bookmart. All right, let's talk a little bit about soccer. I was there when they had the selection show. Pretty cool experience, too. If you've never done that, I don't care what it is. You don't care if it's the men's basketball tournament, the women's basketball tournament, soccer, softball, whatever. You get an opportunity to go and celebrate with your team as they find out their postseason opponent destination. I think it's a good thing. Of course, the timing today didn't work for a lot of working people, 3 o'clock, but it was one of those things, too, that was streamed on NCAA.com. Mississippi State, the last team announced. That doesn't mean that we were the last team in. It actually is a sign of respect because, essentially, we were the number 2 overall seed in the tournament. Duke was the first team announced as the overall 1 seed. State on the complete opposite end of the bracket, effectively the number 2 seed. But we are a 1 seed, which means we get the opportunity to host. So we're going to host Southern University. The Jaguars were a losing team until they got into the SWAC tournament. They get hot when it matters most, and they are rewarded with an NCAA tournament bid as the automatic qualifier from the SWAC. An overall record of 9-9-2, and again, they were 6-9-2 before the tournament. They win the regular season finale and then sweep through the SWAC tournament. The season began for them at Ole Miss, who was a team, maybe you've heard, didn't win a single SEC game this year. The Rebels beat them 4-0 early on. They're shut out the next game against UL Monroe 2-0, and then University of South Florida, who has been a very solid mid-major in the soccer world, gets a 5-0 win out in Tampa. Houston Christian University travels to Mumford Stadium there in Baton Rouge. They escape with a 2-1 win. The Jags head out to Edinburgh, Texas, and play University of Texas, Rio Grande Valley. They lose that game 1-0. University of North Texas, a team that, very fertile recruiting footprint there. They get a 5-0 win over Southern. So you look at this and say, Steve, how in the world can this team be an NCAA tournament? Well, they start out 0-6, and all of a sudden they kind of find a few things here. A 1-0 win over Louisiana Christian University. They lose to Troy 2-1, then lose to Sam Houston. They get a draw against Alabama State. Now we're in conference play. And again, you get through the non-conference portion of your schedule, things are not great. They're 1-8-0 1-8-0 when they get through non-conference. They get a draw against Alabama State. Reason for celebration. Alabama A&M, they get a dub over them in Baton Rouge 2-1. They beat Prairie View. They lose to Texas Southern, who ended up being the number one seed in a SWAC tournament. The breast cancer awareness game against Grambling State, the rivalry game, goes the way of the Jags, 1-0. They beat Pine Bluff, 1-0. The Alcorn State game was canceled and not made up. They get a draw against Mississippi Valley State. And then in the rivalry game, they beat Jackson State 3-0. That concluded the regular season. So they go into the tournament, again, you know, really not expected to do a whole lot here. And, you know, that's you look at it and say, well, you know, Steve, it makes perfect sense, you know. They get a 2-1 win over Prairie View, and Prairie View was the host this year for the SWAC tournament. So 2-1 win, and after the first round, the home standing host is eliminated. Grambling State, the 2 seed in the tournament, ends up with a scoreless draw. It goes to PKs, and it has to go all the way to a 6-5 PK victory for Southern. And then they take on the top seed Texas Southern University in Houston, Texas. Well, they're still at Prairie View. Somebody just messed up the note. And they win that game 1-0. 1-0. So again, winners of 4 straight, but this is not a great program. And all due respect to them, this is a game that State should win handily, and hopefully we'll be able to, play some reserves in this ball game and hopefully avoid some injury. State's been banged up a lot here in the final month of the season. On the year, Southern University has 15 shots on goal. That's it. Just 15 shots. They've allowed 26, averaging less than a goal per game. 15 goals on the year, 145 shots. But they have allowed 295 shots. Opponents, nearly 15 shots on goal per game. That's brutal. It is. Brutal. But, not doing a whole lot in the save department either. And a lot of these shots have not been on target either. So Mississippi State, a really good chance to win and advance. Now you ask yourself, well, Steve, you know, how long will State host? Well, as a 1 seed, State has the opportunity to host every game until the Final Four. Now, a lot's got to happen between now and then. A lot of soccer's got to be played between now and then. But Mississippi State has played its final true road game of the year. Because if they advance to the College Cup and carry North Carolina, that will be on a neutral field. So let's look at our side of the bracket. State, of course, expected to beat Southern University. Should we advance, then we would play Utah State, the winner of Utah State and Washington in Starkville. Now that game is going to take place on Friday at 3 p.m. Central if you're interested in kind of tuning in there. State will play on Saturday at 5 o'clock. It is a ticketed event. It's $10 for adults, $5 for kids. We encourage everybody to come out. We want to set record crowds. We also want to show, too, that we're worthy of the regional, not just because of the fact that our team is successful, but because of the fact that we're going to go out there and support the team. But in the event we win, in the round of 32, State would play the winner of Utah State and Washington in Starkville. If we get beyond that, and last year we did go to the Sweet 16, we would play a much different bracket, right? The opposite side of our bracket is 4 seed Notre Dame and in Milwaukee, West Virginia, and number 5, Kentucky. And Kentucky kind of muddied some things up against us, but we still found a way to get that thing done. So if you look at this bracket, we have a really good chance to advance on the bottom half. Now, at the top half, some familiar names. In the event that we advance and have a chance to take on, Stanford is the 3 seed, and then Arkansas is the 2. So there could conceivably be a matchup against either the team that eliminated Mississippi State last year, Stanford, or Arkansas. Now, Arkansas has not been nearly as successful in the NCAA tournament as one might expect. And I don't think that they got just a cakewalk of a draw here. They get Oklahoma State in round one. That'll be at home in Fayetteville. And then they play the winner of Cal and Pepperdine. Pepperdine, the number seven seed. They got a much more difficult path than the Mississippi State does. But and it just kind of reminds me a little bit of the College World Series bracket, right? And we have to go back and kind of defeat some familiar foes in order to put ourselves in a position to compete for a national championship. But very impressive. Very impressive. And, of course, when Wake Forest was announced as a two seed, there was a little bit of a murmuring among the Mississippi State players because Wake Forest, the only team to defeat Mississippi State in the regular season and much of the year, has remained ahead of State, and rightfully so, in the rankings. But when the brackets are announced, they're a two seed and we're a one seed. And again, I think the benefit of being the conference champion matters. I've had a couple of you message me because there's some insecure Texas fans out there that are trying to claim that they are the SEC champions. They are not the SEC champions. They are the SEC tournament champions. The champion of the SEC is Mississippi State. I mean, we look at it in every sport. Who wins the SEC? The team that wins the regular season championship. You can equate that to basketball. You can equate it to baseball. That's how it works. Your SEC champion is a team that was best throughout the year, through all the conference play, not just one week, right? So there are two championships awarded, the SEC regular season title and the tournament title. The regular season title is more prestigious, and anybody that tries to tell you otherwise is a blithering idiot. There's no point in even responding to that on social media. Even when we have won the SEC tournament, we have been the tournament champions. I'm talking about baseball or men's basketball. The regular season champion is the champion of the league. It is. Now, of course, they're the automatic qualifiers that people earn through the tournament. But the reality of it is, it's not worth arguing about. And so when you begin to kind of look through this thing too, you know, some familiar foes, LSU was kind of a surprise selection. And I think a lot of that too basically kind of illustrates, you know, maybe this committee's belief in the SEC. Texas gets in as the number four seed, and they've got a tough road to hoe. Tennessee makes it in with an at-large bid. That's three SEC teams. Auburn makes it in. That's four. Georgia is five. Looking here, of course, Arkansas, Mississippi State makes it eight. Vanderbilt gets in at nine. And Kentucky, so 10. You know, so, hey, you know, really good year in the SEC, and you're going to have a lot of SEC teams in action. And for many of you, this is the first time you've really paid attention to the NCAA Women's Soccer Tournament. And it's because of the fact many of you, you cheer for the logo, right? I mean, you may not be an expert in a sport, but it's like, hey, it's Mississippi State that's playing. And so I'm going to support those student athletes that are representing Mississippi State. And I can tell you that these ladies have represented this university with dignity and grace. And anybody that plays Mississippi State understands they've got to bring a sack lunch. So again, in the event Mississippi State is able to advance, every game would be played in Starkville until they reach the Final Four. And then the national semifinals will take place on December the 6th in Cary, North Carolina. But again, any team that you play this time of year is going to be a great team. But having the opportunity to play on your home pitch is extremely significant. And so we look forward to those opportunities. And again, you start looking through all this stuff and you begin to realize, you know, hey, there's not a lot of mid-majors that make the tournament. But I can assure you the ones that do, there are some teams out there kind of lying in the reeds that will have an opportunity to advance and surprise some of these Power Four teams. It's true. So come out. Again, there's no Mississippi State football game this Saturday. And so you're used to coming to Starkville. You're used to being here on weekends. Maybe you've got a game day condo. Maybe you just like to come up here. I ran into Julie Bishop today. Love Julie. Love Ken. Love that whole family. Great people. And it seems like every time there's a Mississippi State sporting event, Julie Bishop's around. And I mentioned to Julie today, I said, hey, you know, hope to see you guys out here. They came up and spent the weekend this past weekend. They have a place here in town. And she goes, I love it when we come up on a non-game weekend We talk about it before you come up here, and the lines at the restaurant are shorter, the waits. You can get out and shop and do some things. So even though it's not a football weekend, let's make it a game day weekend and come out and see something historic this weekend. Mississippi State will take the field for the first time ever as a number one seed. And then we'll see what happens the next week. But again, you're going to get your fill. You're going to have a lot of soccer if you're a fan or you're just a Bulldog fan in general to watch here. Because we feel pretty confident that, we can win these first two games and then we'll see what happens. But you go back and you look how great State has been at home this year. And many of you are the reasons why. So come be a part of that. You'll be glad you did. And I think we're going to see something very, very special. Hey, let's thank our friends at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. I'll be staying there soon. Can't wait. Told you guys before, I'm probably more excited about that than I am Christmas because of the fact I'm going to have all of my children and my grandchildren under one roof for a couple nights. And we're going to have a great time together. We're going to enjoy being together. We're going to get out the old board games. We're going to have fun celebrating as a family. And the older that I get and the more spread out that my kids get, the more difficult it is to get everybody together. It's tough to coordinate schedules when everybody's an adult. When your mom and dad, you can say, hey, we're going to your grandmother's this weekend. And that's the end of the discussion. But when you have to think about other people's work responsibilities, it can be difficult. So take the lead in your own family and say, hey, let's all get together and stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It is the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. And think about how much fun it would be to have everybody together, right? Instead of people scattered out, this guy's in an Airbnb and this daughter's in a hotel room. Everybody's together like it used to be in the old days. Give mom a chance to cook with the girls or maybe the sons. I don't know what your needs are, and I don't know how you handle your business. But I can promise you, moms, one of the special things about moms is moms are caretakers. They love to take care of everybody, whether it's be to cook, to clean, and I'm not being old school here, but I can tell you the woman that I married and the woman that raised me, the way that they showed me they loved me was to help take care of me, right? And maybe one night mom takes care of you and the next night you take care of her. Maybe you guys do the cooking or perhaps you take her out for a nice meal at a restaurant, one of her favorite restaurants here in town. I would encourage you, again, as a family or whether it be a friend group, a college roommate reunion, maybe a baby shower weekend, something like that, consider the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Starkville is your favorite town in the country, right? And so how cool would it be to be up here, even when it's not a game day weekend, or even in the midweek? It's available, throughout the year. And so maybe you got some shopping to do and say, hey, wouldn't it be great if I got all my friends together and we just kind of shop in Starkville? We'll go up there and spend a couple nights and take in our favorite restaurants. Maybe you haven't even considered that possibility. Kids are going to be out of school. Maybe you get the cousins together, right? Have a great time. You got some vacation time spent up anyway. Use it. Invest in your family. Invest in your friends and spend a night at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Make it a couple. And so while you're looking, right, you can Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Their Facebook page will auto-populate. And you can peruse the selections of all the amenities that are available to you. That great fire pit area, the full-service kitchen, the five bedrooms, the two bath. It's the old renovated clubhouse. It's more room than you need, more times than not. And so everybody can kind of spread out too. And if they need to get a little nap in, you know, put the kids upstairs or whatever, while the adults are enjoying a nice game of cards or something or watching a movie, this is the place for you. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options come up. It could be Airbnb or VRBO. I don't know which way you want to go, but you've got that opportunity. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. It's EVOLVE. And use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10, the number 10. Get 10% off your stay. We'll make it worthwhile for you. Absolutely. Again, it's a Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, let's spend a little time, too. As you know, we get caught up on a few other things. A lot to keep up with these days. And it's great for people like me and people in our profession to cover Mississippi State. A lot going on. A lot going on. How cool is it, man? When you start working through all this stuff and you get excited about kind of what is to come. The Mississippi State women win again last night. No surprise, but it's good to see them playing well. And again, it's going to take a little while to kind of find some identity with this team. But I think athletically, we look at them, and I think we can say, you know what, this is a team that's capable of getting up and down the floor with just about anybody in our conference. It's not a really strong opening month, but 73-45 winners last night over Alcorn State. The game was really never maybe in question after that second quarter. It was 26-18 at the break, and then State really clamped on the defense in the middle quarters. Alcorn State just 14 points combined in the second and third, while State put up 40 to kind of put it away. Alcorn wins the fourth quarter 13-7 after the game was well in hand. Your Bulldogs, your Kayla Jordan, didn't score a lot in game one. Well, she answers with 20 in this one. And you know, again, you know what you have with her. Destiny McFall really stepping up, 15 points off the bench. So an impressive night, and you know, Bulldogs, again, for the second straight game, getting some playing time, getting some baskets for some other players, and that makes for a very happy locker room. I mean, you work, everybody works just as hard, and so you want to have an opportunity to reward them. Bulldogs back in action on Wednesday against Alabama State, and that's going to be an 11 a.m. game, right? So be sure, and if you're in town, come check that out. That is Education Day, so we'll have a lot of students from the Golden Triangle area that will have the opportunity to come and attend a Mississippi State women's game. It's a great thing that we do, right? It's about making people realize that dreams come true. We mentioned you know, State wins on Friday, 101-66. Your men back in action Tuesday, 6:30 at Humphrey Coliseum against Southeastern Louisiana. You know, and I'll tell you this, Southeastern has had some teams over the years that have been a little feisty. Like, and I don't mean like improperly competitive. They've had some teams in the past that have kind of been, you know, and they're traditionally guard-oriented teams. But I don't know if this is going to be one of them, but we'll see. They took care of William Carey in the opener, 91-53, and then lost at UAB, 82-72. I don't know what your expectations are for the Blazers, but yeah, listen, anytime you got to go on the road, it's brand new. So they're going to be on the road a good bit here as the next week or two. Is that they will be at State on Tuesday, and then the next week on Monday, they're at Louisiana Monroe, and then they go out to Laramie, Wyoming to take on the Cowboys. So three consecutive road games after the road loss to UAB. So they're going to have to earn it. But again, there's always that one guy at Southeastern that seems to have a big game against us, and it hasn't, you know, yielded much in the way of real success. But the reality of it is that, you know, we are not in a position to take anybody for granted. But I think with the athleticism that we have on this team, especially the guard play, and it continues. You know, we're two games into it. I think we all recognize, you know what, we are more than just a one-man band. And I think teams are starting to have to recognize that. Really looking forward to that game at Memphis. Yeah, Memphis, I think I saw Jason Munsley report they were like 42nd in the polls. And State got some votes today, too. You know, Ole Miss, you know, wins the barn burner of a game over Grambling. And listen, Grambling's a veteran team. And they led in the pavilion. But Ole Miss comes back and holds them off late. They're still ranked 25th. And I'm not an unbiased observer, but I'll tell you this, Mississippi State's better than Ole Miss. And I believe we could go to Oxford right now and win that ball game. That's just me. But we'll find out what State's got next week in South Haven. I hope you guys will come out and be a part of that. And again, Utah, you know, a solid team, right? Need you guys to really pack it out at South Haven. You know, anytime that we take the show on the road in the state of Mississippi, it's always a big thing. And there are many people in the greater Memphis area that don't always get a chance to come to a midweek basketball game, so we're taking one to them. So, again, a lot to be excited about. And again, we'll again play again on Sunday in South Haven. So a chance, two chances if you live in North Mississippi to see the Bulldogs play in the next 7 days. Before we hit the road to Dallas. And again, calling on our DFW and Texas Bulldogs to make sure you're there at SMU. Really need you to be out there. And listen, I know that kind of that call won't go unheeded because many of you are excited about this team, and you certainly should be. And again, I'm going to say it, and again, I'm not an unbiased observer. I think picking Mississippi State 10th was a bit of a joke. But the reality of it is there's a reason we play the games. It's not just a matter of opinion. It's a chance for us to go out there and prove who we are and what we are. And again, there's not really a lot of dominant guys in the paint this year. And so I think that gives us a chance to kind of develop some inside game. I don't know how much offense you can run. But if we can have a guy that can kind of rebound and reset for us and put and handle the putbacks up there, we got a chance to do some good things this year. I know all of you guys agree with me. We expect to make the NCAA tournament for the third straight year. We've had some teams in the past that have maybe been worthy of that, and it hadn't always worked out for us. But big believer in Chris Jans, big believer in Sam Purcell. I like the coaches that we have on campus. I truly do. And not just in basketball. Really like Jeff Levy. Really like James Armstrong. I think he is absolutely fabulous. And like Chris Simonis, you know, and I love the fact that we have so many of our student athletes and coaches that turn out to support the other sports, because it truly is a community here at Mississippi State. You know, some places you go and you feel like that some coaches are larger than life. And I had a chance last week to sit and visit with my friend Charlie Weatherly, who is a Bulldog legend. And he was telling me, you know, when he was a student at Mississippi State, you know, like we would play the games on the weekend, and then you would go and have breakfast on Monday, and you'd go to the grill, and there'd be Babe McCarthy just kind of recounting the games. And he goes, it was just such a thrill to be anywhere close to Babe, because he just appeared and really was kind of larger than life, you know. And so I think it's a pretty cool thing to hear those stories about Babe going out there kind of chewing the fat with our students and kind of, you know, recapping a ball game. You know, there wasn't no TV back then. The games weren't televised. If you were lucky, you could get a radio broadcast. But, you know, but by and large, you know, media coverage was essentially non-existent. And it's a super cool thing to think about that. You know, Babe McCarthy loved the students and loved interacting with them and needed them to come out. You know, and as Charlie said, it was a tin gym back then, you know, before they named it McCarthy Gym. But they could bring their cowbells in there. Can you imagine how loud it was in McCarthy at a basketball game with cowbells ringing? Can you imagine how imposing that home court advantage must have been for visiting teams to show up in the tin gym and hearing that celebratory clang resonating off the roof in that place? Incredible. But I love what we're doing, and I had another Mississippi State alum pull me aside out in Knoxville, and they had the opportunity to attend a men's basketball game last year. And he said, you know what, when I was a student here, even then, the hump seemed somewhat antiquated, even then. And that was during the Stansberry years. You know, he goes, hey, we had a great product on the floor. Our court was nice. You know, we had some decent fan amenities, but it felt then that our arena was dated. He goes, and I went back last year. I was excited to go back and see the newly renovated hump. And he goes, it doesn't look the same place. On the outside, it does. But when you get inside and you have a chance to see some of the player and, excuse me, the fan amenities that have been added, it's a different place. And we're going to ask ourselves down the road which was the better way to go. But you forget, you know, building costs during COVID absolutely skyrocketed. And I believe our folks did the best they could. And I love the fact that Zach Selman has come in and said, you know what, hey, we did some cool things here, but there's some space that we can use that maybe is not real functional, and we can make that something new and great for Mississippi State men's and women's basketball. And again, there's so many things that we have ahead of us and some things that we have to kind of tackle together as people, as the Bulldog family. And the only way that I know for us to go about this is to kind of lock arms. That's not going to sit here and say that we're not going to have dissenting opinions. I think dissenting opinions at times are very productive when it comes to dialogue, right? Your customers need to know, or you need to know what your customers value. You do. And we're not going to make everybody happy. It's never going to happen. Nobody in the history of the world has made everybody happy. It's true. I mean, even there have been times that people could have made most people happy and they were still criticized. But the reality of it is we have to focus on what matters most. And that we're all going to get a little bit of what we want, but none of us are going to get everything that we want. But we love Mississippi State, and the only way that I know for us to really kind of get these things advanced is to work together. And listen, I went to Tennessee like everybody else that made the trip. And as I mentioned, I thought the atmosphere was really good. It's a little bit of a Cadillac atmosphere, though, to be honest with you. Like, it's not like going to LSU, right? You go to LSU, you know, you're prepared that it's going to be a long night, right? And I don't just mean team-wise. I mean fan-wise, you're going to go up there and you know, it's going to be tough. You know, it is. It's a very, very hostile environment at times. And I don't mean, you know, that's violent. But, it can be uncomfortable at times. You know, I think, you know, times at Alabama you know, places like Tennessee, it's a little different. It's a little more glazed over, I guess you could say. But, yeah, again, the more I travel, there's some things that I see that we do better than other schools. But, you know, we've got to update Davis Wade Stadium. I mean, there's really no question about it. We have to. And, of course, we've got this house settlement issue that we're having to deal with that's going to have to slow some things down. It's not what we want. And hopefully we can have some donors, you know, step up and help us out a little bit, especially with the new, you know, Bulldog Excellence Fund. So now your contributions are tax deductible. And they always were through the Bulldog Club, but a lot of people felt they had to kind of pick and choose between the initiative and the Bulldog Club, and you didn't really know which way to go. Well, everything is now going to go in the same pot. You're just going to have different ladles dipping in and taking it where it needs to go, you know. But, again, I think that's probably a step in the right direction. We are in unprecedented times in college athletics. And I truly believe that our leadership is trying to get a handle and figure out the best way to navigate through these changes. It's very important. Go to dutynoblebook.com and you can get a brand new copy, a signed copy of The Dude. Everything ordered through the website is signed. All of my sports titles are there as well. And we've been thinking about that for Christmas. I had some people yesterday, oh, that's a perfect gift, Steve. Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's one of the reasons we push to get it released when we do. I'd like it to be earlier, so you'd have even more time to buy. But, yeah, you can get signed copies of The Dude. And in addition to that, too, I get all my sports titles, Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, all available through the same URL. And come join us over at Gene's page, and certainly come float at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. And I want to thank the fine folks at WCBI for having Dana on today to kind of talk about it. And that YouTube video is on my Facebook page, and we've had several calls from Columbus today, people that saw the broadcast. But if you'd like to learn more about you know, float therapy, again, you can find that YouTube link. I'm sure it's on WCBI as well, but it's on my Facebook page. And, yeah, or you can just call 662-268-7601 and get all your questions answered. And, again, whether you have chronic pain or chronic anxiety, everybody deserves a break every once in a while. It's not selfish to do some things for yourself. And I think one of the best things that you can do is to go float, kind of give yourself a mental reset and give yourself, get a chance to get some rest, man. It's true. Come be a part of that. Think about that as a great gift idea as you move forward. You can go ahead and order packages now and gift cards. You're already thinking about that hard to buy for a friend or family member. Get them afloat. And you probably got friends out there that said, man, I really want to try this. Well, give them the impetus to go ahead and get it done and buy them a gift card for Christmas. How cool would that be? Hey, that's it, guys. We'll see you guys back on Wednesday. Hope you guys have a great week. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.